It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify and Apple, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts from. Hope your weekend is going well, especially if you are transacting, eh? Just before Christmas, I guess it's not right on the death, but it is close enough. December the 3rd today, and coming up in just a moment, we have our 7 days of real estate. We caught up on Monday with Angus Moore from PropTrack, Bobby Murphy and Matthew Fleming. We're here on Tuesday talking about high-end luxury locations around Australia, including blowing $80,000 for a week in Noosa. We talked to Judy O'Day from Paddington in Brisbane about the lack of women working in the real estate industry. Scott Mitchell is here from one of my favourite parts of Australia in Queensland, Hervey Bay. Yes, you can still buy very cost-effectively a brand new four-bedroom home there with a land package. And Arjun Paliwal was here on Friday talking about the recovering of the market and what is likely to happen for Sydney in 2024. So that is all coming up. If you are celebrating your birthday for December the 3rd, many happy returns. You share it with Amanda Seyfried, the actor. She's turning 36 today. Brendan Fraser is 53, and Daryl Hannah is turning 61.
It's the main centre forecast.
And let's have a look at our Sunday weather. First we go, as always, to Sydney, expecting cloudy skies and one or two showers with 27. Melbourne also cloudy with a chance of some rain with 21. Brisbane should be a mainly fine day, a little bit of cloud cover, 34. And in Perth, a beautiful day, mainly fine, and the temperature, 27.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
You know, we've been seeing a lot of people rolling off fixed rates. We've been seeing interest rates rising very quickly. You know, these are both pretty key triggers to kind of get people thinking about their mortgage, about whether they can find a better deal. And we're certainly seeing a lot of people looking at the moment. You know, we've kind of never seen refinancing activity as busy as it is at the moment. And it is, you know, as you kind of foreshadowed up the front there, substantially busier than what we were seeing pre-pandemic.
Yeah, and approximately half of the outstanding fixed rate loans from the end of 2022 have now transitioned to variable rates, with the rollover, they say, climaxing in June, accounting for over 6.5% of previously outstanding fixed rate mortgages. What are we likely to see, given all of that, next year for 2024 in terms of people refinancing? Do you think that's going to continue?
Yeah, it's a really good point. It's been a really key part of why we've seen so much refinancing activity. You know, obviously, when you roll off a fixed rate loan onto a variable rate, you know, that tends to be less competitive than what's available if you refinance. So that's a good reason to refinance. But it's also just a kind of trigger for people to think about refinancing when your mortgage rolls off and your repayments jump enormously. So the fact that we've been seeing a lot of those roll off, and you know, it was just under half as at the end of October, we may well have just crossed the halfway mark as of, you know, late November now. We've certainly seen that be a big tailwind to refinancing activity. That tailwind is going to fade into next year. You know, we've still, for the next couple months, there's still quite a lot of people rolling off of those pandemic era fixed rate loans. But as we head into next year, there's just not nearly as many people rolling off in any given month. You know, at peak earlier in the year, we were seeing sort of 6% of fixed rate loans rolling off in any given month. Next year, it's going to be more like 2.5-3, and then by the later half of the year, below 2%. So, you know, a third as many, give or take. It'll still be busy. It's just not going to be quite as busy as what we have been seeing.
We are taking you to Bell Property in Beary and to Jane Zwar. Jane, what is your property tip for us this morning?
It's pretty simple, Craig. If you love it, if you see potential, if you can afford it, buy it. Look, there's a very slim chance that you will regret that decision in, say, 5 to 20 years from now. However, if it's an investment, don't think with your heart.
Have you had a property where you hesitated, might have been 10, 15, 20 years ago, and you thought, oh, I should have really bought that property?
Oh, Craig, I've got the reverse. I've got a property that I sold that I have to drive past every single day, and I've watched it go up by $1 million during that time. So yes, I think everyone has one of those skeletons somewhere.
Yeah, and I've got exactly the same thing. Is yours involved with COVID? Because my property is where I sold it at the low end of the market, and brings tears to my eyes.
Actually, it wasn't COVID. It was I bought in the low end. I sold in the mid going on the way up. Then COVID hit. Then it really got good. And then I had to drive past it.
Oh, well, thankfully, I don't have to drive past mine. Hey, enjoy your day.
Thanks, Craig.
What to buy, where to live, and things to avoid every morning on the Real Estate Podcast.
Yes, it can be a little bit difficult to get your head around that, but the luxury market certainly has its place, and there are consumers that are looking for that escape nowadays to be able to drop $80,000 plus on a luxury holiday up here in Noosa.
80 grand to Noosa. So tell us, Bobby, what is 80 grand for a week get you?
Look, it gets you a beachfront location, a beautiful, newly renovated, prestigious house with luxury furnishings. It gets you the lifestyle of Noosa, which, you know, people pay a lot more to live here. So putting a small deposit on a holiday like that allows you to experience what we get to enjoy every day.
Now, what was happening during the pandemic? Because I think you guys in the luxury holiday market saw a bit of a spike. There was a lot of demand, I think, for the high-end rentals because people couldn't get out of the country.
We were very lucky during the pandemic because people couldn't leave. You're right. So we did see incredible results last year, and we're definitely feeling the impact of that this year now that people can escape. So a lot of our demographic, being our owners or our guests that we invite here every year, have travelled overseas, being a lot to Europe and Bali. So we're definitely having to navigate those waters, but we're still seeing a lot of occupancy over this Christmas period back to good results with some occupancy levels higher than 2022, but we're going to plateau around 2019 occupancy standards. So back to normality, I believe.
And what about the overseas visitors? Like you must have one or two that have heard about Noosa. Maybe they've come here on a trip and a couple of years down the track, they say, oh, let's go and do a bit of a luxury stay in Noosa on the Sunshine Coast. Is that happening?
Yeah, look, Noosa hasn't really been on the radar for a lot of international travellers. And with a lot of international travellers, they do tend to try to pack a lot into a short amount of time. So they're not staying for a long period. We here had a minimum length of stay for 5 to 7 nights. So it wasn't really something that international travellers were interested in. We've reduced that minimum length of stay. And we just recently featured at Luxperience, a prestigious event down in Sydney with Noosa Tourism. And it sounds like international travellers are looking for an experience when they travel now. They're really wanting to take their time and stay a little bit longer. So we're looking for that change in the market to see an increase of international travellers here.
So fair to say that the luxury market is what, growing year on year?
Yes, I believe so, because people, I think if COVID taught us anything, it's that getting out and exploring and having that ability to do that is something that we took for granted previously. And now it's become something that people really enjoy, and they save up to take their family away and live the high life. We all saw that prices increased during COVID, and some people, you know, their businesses flourished. So money certainly became something that people had in abundance in some areas, not mine personally. So we're seeing that people are really taking the time to enjoy their holidays and enjoy that luxury side of travel.
Australia is one of those destinations where it's a little bit more of a challenge to come to. So people, you know, unlike maybe Europe or America, when you're talking about Northern Hemisphere travellers, when they come to Australia, there's a fair bit more planning. So when they do plan, you know, that they look into it for a long time, and they generally will spend a little bit more because they want to have the best possible experience they can when they get here.
And what about the impact on local businesses as high-spending travellers, of course? They're going to contribute to various services around the country.
You know, we're fortunate to look after some of the best homes in Australia, and I think our guests will spend far more in the local economies than they do on the properties. We always make sure that, you know, we're using local suppliers, whether it's Byron Bay or Palm Beach or Port Douglas. On the sort of lower luxury end, you know, you're talking people to take out on Indigenous experiences, kayak, fishing, to the high-end luxury where it's helicopter rides to wineries and, you know, boat trips out on Sydney Harbour. They definitely spend a lot when they come to Australia.
So, you know, a lot of people coming into Sydney, they would probably potentially, some of them, end up buying real estate.
Some of them have, absolutely. Actually, quite a few of our clients are international people owning properties in Australia. Some of them are actually Australians who are living overseas with the intention to come back. But look, a lot of them probably have bought in Australia. We're not a real estate agency per se, so we don't do the sales, but I have heard that, absolutely.
From first-time home buyers to seasoned investors to breaking property news, discover the stories behind the real estate.
I found this comment pretty interesting. You said that there's not enough women working in real estate.
That's absolutely true. When I looked at the figures and I spoke to head office about this when I came and had a look at the percentage of women in as saleswomen in Ray White for Queensland, it's only 27%.
Wow.
It's not a very strong figure. There's two aspects that I like to talk about, and that is, number one, helping women who want a real estate career. It's a wonderful career. If you are interested in people, not necessarily houses, you've got to be interested in people, and you've got to want to work extremely hard. It is an extremely rewarding, dare I call it, profession.
Now, why do you think that there is only 27% in the Queensland Ray White organisation that are women?
Well, that's the figure, and I'm sure that that's representative right across the board. It's a bit of a men's game, and I think there's a lot of women who would like to sell with a woman. I've experienced that many times where, you know, I've been up against the boys, and I think that women bring a certain, you know, style and elegance and understanding to the table. And also, there's another interesting figure. I know that 68% of the decisions are made by women about buying the house. So you've really got to watch who you're talking to when you're actually talking to a couple and working out who really is the decision maker.
Yeah, and just on that note, because we talked to Tara Kelly, she's an auctioneer there in Brisbane, and of course, as far as the auctions are concerned, women do it completely different to the boys, and I think that that probably translates to the actual sales when, if you compare male versus female, it's probably a little bit more of a relaxed situation, do you think?
That's a very interesting comment, because I can't stand an auction being called like a racehorse. Really grates on my nerves.
And fire lamp is coming down the outside of the motor.
I know. So it's something that, look, I'd love to mentor more women about this situation. I think that there are a lot of women who really need to understand that real estate it's a wonderful career. I actually started real estate at the age of 48.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I've turned that into a very successful career. However, I had a very strong sales background. My background is fashion, and I've taken that flair and used it in my in my sales work that I do as a real estate agent. I had to learn a whole new language at the age of 48 to actually learn how to sell real estate. It hasn't been easy, but I just really enjoyed what I've had to learn, and I've enjoyed the experience. It's been phenomenal.
Judy, I love it. You have taken that flair from fashion to real estate and you're loving it. I can hear the enthusiasm still in your voice.
Of course, it's still in my voice. There is a career here that you can go for a long, long time if you've got the energy and the drive and you're willing to work incredibly hard.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
The latest report I just saw from Heron Todd White, they've still got Hervey Bay sitting at the peak of the market. So we've been sitting there on that property clock at peak of market for probably 6 months. And some would say, oh, there's only one way to go from there. But it doesn't have to happen in the short term. Ultimately, yeah, look, our prices have got to come off a little bit. With the demand and the amount of infrastructure going on here at the moment, there's no going back for Hervey Bay. It's been booming.
And if you look at Melbourne, it is showing, if you go back to the Heron Todd White National Property Clock, Melbourne, I think, is showing at the bottom of their cycle and Sydney is already in a rising market. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And again, they're really positive signs for us. So those sellers that are wanting to sell in, we'll say, Melbourne generically and Sydney and then move further north. So the guys in Melbourne, they know that they're at the bottom of the cycle. They've been there for a couple of months now. Their market is going to go up again. And in some areas, I understand it already has. They've seen up to 1% growth already. So they've come off the bottom in some of the suburbs. That's going to flow on to us because those sellers need to sell in order to move. And a lot of those interstate buyers, whilst we do get some come directly in the Hervey Bay, the bulk of them are still looking for that cosmopolitan lifestyle, maybe without the population density. So they're buying into the Gold Coast market and Sunshine Coast markets. And those markets are still higher than Hervey Bay in value. And then those, we deal with those sellers, they're complaining that it's getting busier down there and the prices are going up. So they're taking that opportunity to take that money and then move into Hervey Bay. We've got a slower lifestyle and we're more affordable.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or a first-time buyer, know your property with us on the Real Estate Podcast.
Well, the data seems to say the opposite of what many people are thinking, because if cash rate increases alone were this correlating factor to house price declines, then we would not have seen the recovery in Sydney that we've seen in 2023. So I think that absolutely busts that part of just simply saying a cash rate increase equals that. However, there surely must be a limit to something, right? Because you can't just keep increasing and increasing and increasing and think it makes no effect on people. It makes an effect. So I do feel that with each one comes, yes, there's one element of trying to tame. There's also the other element of households that feel a pinch. I do feel that whilst the recovery is for sure to be at the place where all declines are made up by the end of this calendar year, I think that 2024 prices will still continue to grow for Sydney. However, the growth will start to moderate more and more as the effects of everything start to come into place. And, you know, it's a confidence game, really, in terms of that. And confidence cannot keep at all-time highs. If rates just keep increasing, confidence has been low, and naturally that may come off a little bit more, but prices are expected to rise.
Yeah, so we talk about the recovering market for Sydney, and it has been remarkable to watch in terms of that recovery, but there are still people hoping that house prices might take a step backwards in values. So for that to actually happen, what order of events would you need to see before prices start to move in the decline column?
The interest rates, if that continues to remain their only hope, that just can't be it. And that would have been the hope if 2023 continued to show declines, but that wasn't it. So in Sydney's particular case, when we're looking at 2024 and what signs you'd need to look for to say, oh, prices are coming back again, it would need to be the continued acceleration of listings, because Listings in 2022 when declines were present and house listings in 2023 when the recovery was present, there hasn't been huge differences. They've been fairly similar. So we can't just use the undersupply as a component of 2023's recovery. We'd have to say that confidence has played a key part in 2023's recovery. And so I would say that going into 2024, if the interest rates continue to increase, and let's say that confidence does derail and the listings trend that's recovered starts to recover more and more into 2024, then that would be one trend to say that, hey, more choice equals increased time to sell, increased vendor discounting, and therefore increased opportunity. And so right now, all those signs have not happened because the latest growth data still shows upwards momentum. But if trends persist in listings, then that would be the first sign of change.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.